Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Chris Cameron, and my co-host, Felicity Sidnell-Reed. Our guest this week is my other co-host, Gwyn Sheltema, who is telling us about her own writing. Gwyn, in the first half, we were talking about your fiction writing. Let's switch for a moment to the non-fiction side of things. Now, you currently blog regularly through Writescape. Perhaps blogging is the modern version of newspaper articles? Can you tell us a bit about Writescape and what you blog about?
I think I agree with you that blogging is the new newspaper article. As part of my freelancing, I gave writing workshops, and I did private editing for clients as well. And my good friend and fellow writer, Ruth Walker, was doing much the same. And then one time, Ruth and I went on a writing retreat, and we were hugely disappointed. So we decided, you know, something could be done here. First of all, we could bring our services under one umbrella and create a symbiotic relationship that way. And we could create the kind of retreats that we would like to go to. So that's exactly what we did. We formed an organization called Writescape, obviously spelled with a W, and that was back in 2008, and Writescape has been going strong ever since. Of course, Writescape has a website, like most businesses these days, and one of the things we do to keep in touch with people and to give them a little something on an ongoing basis is we blog, and we blog all about writing-related things. So there'll be tips on writing, there'll be discussions about different, you know, genres, that kind of thing. We keep our readers up to date on the ongoing copyright legal issues that have been happening. And we also have a lot of personal writing type stories that we put in there. It's a big mix, and hence it's called the top drawer, because it's kind of like the drawer in your kitchen full of bits and pieces that are useful. And then on our 10th anniversary, we decided we'd add a little extra something for that year. So we started something called 10 on the 10th, which is 10 tips that goes out on the 10th of the month. And it was so popular that when the year finished, everybody said, well, can't you just keep going with 10 on the 10th? I really like those. So we did. So we've now do two blogs.
People can find your blog just by Googling Writescape, can they?
Yes, W-R-I-T-E and then scape, .ca.
So if we could switch one more time, you are also an editor, as we know. Mm-hmm. You edited Spirit of the Hills' recent anthology of writing by Northumberland writers, Hill Spirits 4. Can you tell us a bit about that? What do you enjoy about editing?
Well, I come from an accounting background. So although I have, you know, the creative right brain side of me, I also have the left analytical, detail-oriented side of me as well. I have a good eye for copy editing and stylistic editing as well. But one of the things I enjoy about it is that I always learn something myself, reading other people's writing and knowing that something's a little off, and now I have to tell the client what that something is, means I have to sort of know it myself. So I analyze and so on, and then you know, the penny drops and it's like, oh, now I have learned something. And I'm a puzzle lover too, so maybe that's part of it as well.
You've said that poetry is your first love. And what kind of poetry are you writing, and what are your plans for this regard for the future?
Poetry is my first love. I do morning pages, which is journaling in the morning, and that's when most of my poetry comes, in the quiet time of the morning there. As to what kind of poetry I write, I still am a storyteller, whether I'm writing poetry or prose, so I guess most of my poetry is narrative poetry. It does tell a story, but I think where it differs most from my other creative writing is that I tend to write about things that are either too big or too small for prose. So universal themes on the big side or just tiny moments on the small side.
A little vignette or almost a haiku sort of moment.
Moment
in time, yes.
Absolutely. So that's the kind of poetry I write. And I'm big on images. I love painting pictures with words. And I also like to leave the reader with something to think about. What I have noticed, and I don't do it on purpose, but it tends to happen, is that I tell my little story, and then there's a bit of a twist at the end of my poems that gives you the thing to think about.
I was just thinking of the poem that you read on our anniversary show a little while back. Was it about a pot or something?
That's right,
That's all it was. It was just about a pot. But by the time the poem had ended, you had described the end of a relationship, and it was all from a pot. You were really seeing the world in a grain of sand, in a way.
Yeah, I like that.
Do you think you could read some of your poetry for us?
I think I could do that. Maybe I will read you a couple that have that little twist at the end. Okay, so this is the first one, and it's called Elissa. And Elissa was my first granddaughter, and I obviously wrote this at the time that she was born. Tender as the fawn and unfurling frond, here she is. In time, such newness will grow old. But now, in this moment, tender and light as petals, I'd gladly be this newborn babe, sucking at air with her round bow mouth, a heart so fresh and small, it has no room for sorrow. And here's another one called Finding Lost Things. Every day she looks among the dumps of dirty clothes, under dishes in the sink, slick with Saturday's supper. She looks between iron shirts and in the dirt in the dusty vacuum cleaner bag, under lunches for school and pools of cat hair collected in corners, for herself. But she's not there, nor in window envelopes with other bills or the fridge behind the almond milk, nor in the weekly organic veggie box or among the notes home from school, not in the pile of newspapers in the recycling or the freezer of neatly marked dinners enough for a whole week. But one day, because her mind is foggy with soccer pickup schedules and trip consent forms, grocery lists and what to pick up for Aunt Flora's anniversary party, unpaid taxes and reminders from the vet that the dog needs his shots again, she fills her water glass with vodka, a gulp of fire in her throat, and for a moment she glimpses herself, dancing in a gold-glittered dress. All next day she thinks about that dance, that gold-glittered dress, but can't find the details, can't remember where she was, who she was. So in the afternoon, another glass. Now not just a glimpse of glittering gold, but music melodies, laughter, and for the first time in years, she laughs. The next day, names and scents of jasmine. After that, she finds her plans for college and how she loved hiking. The time she had red hair long and loose. The trip to Spain when she stayed with a stranger for just one night and forced herself to never ask his name. Sweat of lovemaking on a Sunday afternoon. Chilled peaches in brandy by an Italian lake. Roar of a train through a tunnel in the mountains. Stars viewed from a blanket in the meadow. Wisps of sand against bare legs on a windy beach. Again she laughs, high-fives the air, happy that now she knows where to go to find lost things.
I love that poem. That was in Hill Spirits 4, our anthology,
right.
Wasn't it?
It was. I'll end with a poem that's inspired by my home here in Northumberland. And I have a stream that runs through my property and a little curved bridge that goes over the top of it. And so riffing off the very famous poem about 13 ways to look at a blackbird, these are moments on a bridge over a stream. The bridge over the stream joins the garden to the wild spaces, life to dreams. Grandmother's willow pattern plate calls from older days of blue china and white linen, but the story is the same. Lovers still cry over bridges. The upstream pond is dark. Layers of black leaves hold secrets, till the spring thaw washes them under the bridge to the lake. Spring rain swells the waterways. The lake rises and pushes the flow upstream. New words bubble over rocks in spring, fall silent in searing summer heat, ice in winter. The bridge reaches with curves of wood. Reflection poises on the arc of possibility that comes with pausing to relish the intensity of moments. Childish laughter dances round and round and round the bridge, travels on by poo sticks. At twilight, mosquitoes gather, whine and dip and swarm and settle to birth. The woodpecker beats for nuggets hidden in the old birch. Death hangs above the water. Lovers lean on the bridge, whispered words spilling into chattering swirls, running on to discover the world. Rain on the window last night, thoughts of summer evenings when fireflies dance in the ferns below the bridge. On the bridge, be higher than a few moments ago, though elevated without effort. A bridge is somewhere to stand between what was and what is yet to be, between before and become.
Thank you so much, Gwyn. It's beautiful to listen to you read your poetry. And thanks for coming in and stepping from behind the radio host desk and telling us all about you, the writer. Listeners can go to writescape.ca to find out about your various retreats, read your blog, or attend any of your workshops. Is that correct?
That's right.
So writescape, again with a W, .ca. Thanks so much for coming in, and thanks for being our guest today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
To connect with us here at the program, please post comments, queries, or your suggestions for who we might interview in future programs on our website, wordonthehills.com. Here you'll find all our programs archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, Sunday at 1 p.m., right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.